people say life has no sense in one way and a sense in the other way. The sense to wake up and no sense because it's all a game, it's just for fun, because...
No, it depends upon the maturity of your seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the great sages who came to see that all of this is a play, it's the play of consciousness. It's not rubbish, it's just a play, it's a play of consciousness. And even upon seeing that they are formless, and we are all essentially formless, appearing in form, mm-hmm. that we are the invisible inside the visible.
Mm-hmm.
Having understood that, enormous compassion was flowing.
Ah.
You see? And grace, and pleasure,
mm-hmm.
and patience,
mm-hmm.
and love was flowing. They didn't say, it doesn't exist, there's nobody there.
No,
to
this
do
is
this.
The but other way.
This is the other, yeah, this is not.
And,
and this has been the real experience for me. That one feels tremendous love, knowing that all are the self, momentarily perhaps distracted because we are identified with the experience of being the body.
Mm.
And that it is itself consciousness that is playing this role somehow.
Mm.
And if we understood deeply, it will change the temperature of our experience. Because I'm remembering one man in India, he came up and he said to me, I don't understand, my life has been full of so much struggle and fighting, everything's like I'm fighting, and I just feel that God is playing with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think God is playing with me. And I said, no, God is not playing with you, God is playing as you.
Yeah.
And suddenly somehow his mind was kind of like this, but
uh-huh.
something dropped.
Yeah.
Because the separation
was
bringing pain. Then he said, but God is playing as you. And then somehow the pressure was gone,
mm-hmm.
the guilt was gone, the me, the victim was gone. Something
mm-hmm.
made room, made way
mm-hmm.
for a greater space, a greater seeing.
Yes.
And our seeing from the place of our universal perspective makes all things softer.
Yeah.
You see more panoramically. But when you're a person, your view is very narrow and very selfish.
You say, this is bad now. But you never know why this should be.
Yes.
Because you don't see it from here.
Yes.
From here.
For a while, we will experience like this. For a while, we
mm-hmm.
will experience being narrow-minded,
mm-hmm.
being selfish, being arrogant.
Yeah.
Because none of these things can stay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are not original to ourselves, no?
Uh-huh.
They are just, for a while, we play, something is playing.
Very strenuous.
It is very strenuous and very painful. And sometimes the pain is necessary to bring us back out of that forest, of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That we cause to ourselves and also to others, who are just forms of the one being.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not really pointing to, this rule and that rule and this commandment or this thing, and not like this now, because we have had these in
mm-hmm.
the existence so far. We have tried and make use of it. Sometimes we have forgot that, and there's still fundamental power in looking at the wisdom that has come to us through time
mm-hmm.
and through space and so on. But now I feel we are being introduced also, alongside that, to a much more direct way
mm-hmm.
of seeing and experiencing. And I feel a sense of urgency about it, because of the degree and the intensity of the suffering that we see, that is due to really an unawareness of who we are, actually. It's because we are unaware of who we are. We take ourselves to be only flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a very oppressive state, a very aggressive state also.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the more that this knowledge can come back to us, because we are always here, something
mm-hmm.
very pure, under the facade of the person
mm-hmm.
is something very pure. And so satsang is a way of pulling the curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Mm?
Yes.
But what is seen is not on the other side of the curtains. It's almost like you pull the curtains and you find a mirror.
Mm-hmm,
and we begin to find something, a most profound and worthwhile discovery of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to feel that somehow we make available this perspective also.
Yes.
We don't say it's the only perspective. No, mm-hmm. I said maybe it's the most direct.
Yeah.
You see?
But
consciousness in all of its expressions.
To meet.
Yeah.
To exchange this truth.
First, we have to go beyond the dimension of meeting. You have to go beyond the dimension of meeting. You have to that unity which is inseparable. It is what I'm speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the manifest expression, we will speak about meeting in the world of relative existence.
Yes.
Which is also, I don't curse this world. This world is also my flavor. It's also myself also.
So we have so many pictures about love. We grow up, love is if you always stay with me, la la la, and so things. And the mind sometimes asks, how to love? Is it just the butterfly feeling here? Or is love something else? What is it?
Mm-hmm. You know, a green mango and a ripe mango, they're both mangoes. But the ripe one tastes more nice.
Mm.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, in a way, green love is also love, but it's very limited. It has to mature somehow. And the greatest maturity of this is when one begins to know oneself. Initially, all the beings, they want to associate with something else. Another person, another idea, to have money or fame or something, or whatever it is.
Mm.
And in satsang also, the term also means to associate. But now it means to associate in good company that helps to remind you of who you are.
Mm.
And in being reminding of who you are, it's like you come to an unassociated presence. And it's so important, I feel, the human being, that we discover who we are. Not who I am when I'm with you, or who I am when I'm over there, but just who and what we are as ourselves first. And that's a profound wealth and recognition, because it brings a kind of security, not out of fear, but out of real power and intuition. No? And somehow you bring that not just to your partner, but to everybody. The whole world is your husband, your wife, your partner, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not the best way of putting it, but you know.
Yes, I understand.
You cannot help
just
by being, in fact.
And
others are benefiting from your presence, from your words, from your actions, from your silence.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is love.
He
is love. And you know, I just came back from Portugal a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I met a woman there who is, I love her so much, this lady, you know, Prem Bodhi, her name.
Mm.
She has a dog.
Yeah.
And one time we were sitting on top of the hill where she's living, and the dog was there. The dog loves her, she loved the dog, no?
Mm-hmm.
The dog. They're sitting together, but the dog is holding its own presence.
Mm-hmm.
It was like sitting together, but he was quite inside himself, somehow enjoying also the landscape and so on. No? And this is a beautiful togetherness, isn't it?
Mm.
It doesn't come like, you know, some togetherness, I keep looking at you to see if it's okay. Is it okay for me to be, is it okay for me to have this pleasure? Is it okay for me to not hold your hand? Like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is called green manga love.
Yes.
And somehow when you come to know who you are, there's a fullness of this love, because the love then is like a unicity of being. It's like a oneness of being.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's the two-ness of being, then there's attachment and there's expectations, there's dependency, all of these things. And they can somehow, they are the energies that are moving closely with love.
Mm-hmm.
But of themselves, they are not by themselves love.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? They don't look what is at the moment.
They have come to help us to discover the real love.
Yeah,
they come to help us to discover. Because if you didn't have disappointment, if your projections were not broken, you would not go further, you would not go deeper, you see.
Mm-hmm. So the ripe mango's love is the unconditional.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But is the unconditional love beyond the concept of unconditional love?
Yeah.
It's not the love that's trying to be unconditional. It's not trying anything.
No.
There's an innocence.
It's just
about love. Her being that cannot help loving.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it has to slap you.
Oh.
But there's still love. That slap is love. Yes. You know
uh-huh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not aggression.
I know, this is...
It's not yes. It's not this.
Yeah.
It can be expressed in so many ways, but the underlying love is unmistakable.
Yeah.
Love that is your being, synonymous with your own self. This love is rare to see it. The more that people wake up to the truth of what they are, the more this love will show itself and flower its beauty in the world, I would say, like this.
So, would you wish that you could do something to reach more people, or do you say, okay, the one who comes? So, because you see the suffering and...
In a sense, both.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, both.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not conducting a campaign.
No.
But at the same time, it's natural, having found what is so beautiful, and it's natural to want to share. But one should not want something too much.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because in a sense, you are nature, and this cosmos is working inside its body. It's not me having an independent desire to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, in a sense, all things are perfect also.
Mm-hmm.
Even in their apparent imperfectness, there is a perfectness about it.
Yeah.
No? Because sometimes some people still have to go through painful lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And that painful lesson and that painful journey is also a truth.
Yes, and it's a chance to get... for me, it was a chance to get a glimpse.
Yes. But I would not... want that they miss the mark, and you're doing overtime and really wasting a kind of effort, although it is consciousness doing it, but I'm also consciousness. And so out of compassionate consciousness, there is an urge to help or to guide the ones who are open to that help to go beyond suffering. Of course, it's a natural thing. You see, it's the play, in a sense.
I understand.
But something inside myself does not get excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. It happens, no?
Mm-hmm.
We're not lying on sofas all day.
Mm-hmm.
We're also making YouTubes to share and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But the fruits of that activity does not belong to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's consciousness's work. I am consciousness and I have a taste of the joy of doing that also.
Yes.
I as consciousness in this body, in the feeling, when what they call Muji, is just like one of the names of consciousness.
Yes.
Just like each one is a name of consciousness. You can say like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot hide or pretend, oh no, I am the absolute. I mean, I absolutely don't feel... No, I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy to meet you.
Yeah.
And to sit together. And somehow the consciousness has come together to have a conversation that is delightful. It's delightful for me to speak about these things with someone who is not just asking superficially.
Yes.
But who is coming from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so the flavor is truthful and, for me, authentic. And that taste I surely do love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I discovered the same, that this is fruity talk. This is really...
Yes.
And when... So chatting sometimes is funny to me also, but but it's no more that... That I prefer like that, because it's miraculous.
Here's another taste of love.
Yes.
Another one of the taste of love.
Mhm. It's very new and
fresh.
Fresh.
Mhm.
Why does the mind not want the self to awaken? Why is he always saying, haha, you must do this, you must get there?
Hmm.
Why?
The self, in its aspect of the beingness or the conscious presence, the feeling I am, because that came out of the unspeakable. The feeling I am arose out of the infinite expanse, the nameless, the unborn. It came, and when it appeared in this body, it has the feeling I am, I exist. And once that I exist, the feeling comes. Because I was saying once, I had a feeling that when the unmanifest, the first taste of experience, when it pushed its face into manifestation, perhaps the first reaction was hesitation. big trouble, of course. It's playfully I say this.
Yes, thing. I understand it.
Because once it began to, when it came in the body, it couldn't initially stay by itself unassociated. It was compelled by a kind of destiny to identify with the body, and everything in the creative world was helping it for a while to establish itself as an identity. I am this body, I am a girl, I'm a boy, I'm Jewish, I'm whatever. Okay? And once it accepted this identity, the play of duality became very broad, very wide. And the consciousness fell in love with experiencing diversity. It absolutely loves it. Not every time, because there are some beings who became tired of experiencing. You see?
Yeah.
They said, I don't want any more experience.
Yes.
You see? But the majority, we are loving the experience. Except when we don't love it. When we don't love it, we want to finish. I don't want any more of it.
Yeah.
And then we don't have any more of that. And oh no, I miss something. And this is the duality of, of consciousness in a sense. And it seems to me that all these experiences which we learn through the senses and through the mind, through time and space and all of this relationship, was to create a kind of friction in consciousness. And with this friction, it had to somehow learn to recognize itself again. And this is why in India they call it the Leela, which is the play, the play of God, the play of the divine. Some don't regard it, it's not, some say the dream of God, and some say it's the nightmare of God, depending upon you. But those who have come to see from the pure place within themselves, don't see it anymore like a nightmare. It only comes a nightmare when the identity is predominating. When the identity that I'm a person is the predominant presence and energy, then the world becomes dark, becomes heavy and claustrophobic and full of resistance. When we understand that we are the absolute, manifesting as the presence, as the consciousness, the feeling, I exist. And that I exist feeling of consciousness is not a person. It is like the purest expression or reflection of the absolute in material reality. When we understand even this, then we can somehow enjoy the experience of being. But it's not enjoying, maybe is a misleading word. There's a sort of detachment, and there's tremendous space that comes with detachment. But inside this detachment, it's not cold, because there's beautiful compassion, there's aliveness, there's love, there's spontaneity, there's freshness, there's the joy of relating. But still, at the same time, knowing that all of this arises out of the unspeakable, out of the timeless, out of the unborn, out of the unchanging, you see? And this knowledge you cannot learn in a university.
No.
You will only learn it in the universe, not university. You see? And that universe you are finding out in yourself. And I don't say to anybody, study, study, study. I say, no, no, keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet, and hold on to your being. Just through holding on to your being, it will release all its juice, the juice of intuition, intuitive knowledge, all of this will come.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How quick the thoughts come. I don't know how to do this.
Of course.
La, 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 la.
Of course. And beingness is not something you can know how to do. Or it will be called doingness. Beingness means to be. It means without effort. It means what is.
Mm.
You see? But the mind has these two aspects. One is the being and one is the becoming. And somehow the consciousness, which is identified with personality, is more aligned with the state of becomingness.
Mm.
It's always moving to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And whether the next thing is advancing spiritually or materially,
mm,
or in terms of skill or in terms of fame or money or whatever, is very much attached to that movement.
Mm.
The beingness side is what happens when somehow we begin to introspect and to reflect and contemplate and meditate. This also happens out of consciousness. And who can say how you come to qualify? I don't know. Just somehow a change in orientation towards the world begins to change. It's as though the consciousness turns around and stops shopping through the senses to go out, begins to come in. Sometimes it can be out of an accident or the loss of a close relative or something, can be the trigger to somehow to go back inside. And that is a journey. It's a shorter journey than going out.
Mm-hmm.
But the journey ends into that place which has no distance. There's no journey and no distance in the truth.
Mm-hmm. But it's you cannot do it from yourself. It is grace or...
In a sense, if you take yourself to be the self, then you can say, you're doing it to yourself. You understand? If you take yourself to be the reality, then you can say, yes, I am the cause of all of this play. If you take yourself to be the one who is journeying, you can say, yes, I can't do it by myself. If you take yourself to be the body-mind, you say, of course, I can't do it myself. Because, you know, somehow, the activity of the universe, I cannot control. And it's a very good thing you cannot control them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you could control them, you would be another tyrant. You see? So, in a sense, as we evolve inwardly, there's greater freedom, but there's not selfishness, and there's no power, no desire to dominate, but more to somehow remove what is darkness. And by darkness, I mean ignorance, this thing come. So, both statements are okay. It's okay to say, I cannot do anything. Because the one who says this is previously saying, I can do so much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in this arrogance, life gives you a thump.
Yeah.
And then you become humble and then you admit, I cannot do anything. And when you see that you cannot do anything, then there's a possibility for you to go beyond that limitation.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yeah.
And it just happens then, essentially.
It is just happening.
It's just happening.
I've heard many people, they say, oh, there's nothing to do, you cannot do anything, there's nothing to do, and so on. And in some cases, this speaks to us deeply. Hmm? Especially if you're always trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time when you need to hear this. But there's a time when you don't need to hear that, because it's not complete. What I say is that what you can do is to question, who really am I? This you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because it will never take you into the dark. It will always clean away whatever is feeling like it's tightening up the being. This question will remove the claustrophobia. You can find out, you know, who is even saying there's nothing to do? You can ask this question.
Who is? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can even ask it. You see? So it's beautiful, no? Uh-huh. You can find out, but who is saying there's nothing to do? And just be quiet. And bring that question into the presence and stay with it. You see?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you say you can do. And then when there's nobody there to even ask this question, then the question and the one who would ask it will evaporate. They will vanish.
Mm.
And what is remaining, it won't be saying anything.
And this is what you call a journey inside.
you can say like this.
You can say, but it's
not. Yes, 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 yeah. This question, when it is understood, because many people, they don't really understand this question.
My mind also. Mm. My mind, he doesn't know.
Sometimes people ask me, explain this question. I tell them I can't do it.
It's only that you get driven. I suppose you get driven into this space after searching for this. Who am I? It's just I land in this.
Only a master can bring you beyond all boundaries, all concepts. If the mind is there, it won't do it by itself. Mm-hmm. It may enjoy very beautiful things. But what is called a master is that principle that can push you out of you. Push you out of you. To take the you out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only you without you left. And this is a very unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this question, sometimes, as I was saying before, that people ask, could you explain how it is? I say, I cannot do it. Only if you are ready, then somehow I will walk with you in this question, because then it's alive. But just to explain as a technique is no good.
It's
very mental, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I find if you are ready, somehow the question begins to happen. The environment is created and the question comes alive. And it will burn everything that is not you.
Mm-hmm.
Easy? Mm.
Sometimes I feel in a that it wants. I tell it from the head now.
Speak.
But the head says to this question, yes, because I don't know an answer, and I sometimes find myself or the witness in nothing. So after this question, so it must be that this is the door to the self or the unspeakable. This question is just a key or a door.
Yes, it is an invisible key to an invisible door to the invisible mm-hmm. self.
Yeah.
Where there's no distance. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, all those steps have to be taken somehow.
Yes, not think, because again.
No, it has to be taken somehow
mm-hmm.
in the play. It's almost as though the glove of existence has to be reversed. Something comes back out,
mm-hmm.
out of this sense of being the doer, the thinker of thoughts and the doer of actions and the person who is living life, all of this. It's called waking up from this dream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a paradox that it cannot be forced. This is the wisdom of God itself, that it cannot be forced. And cleverness or intellectual cleverness or trickery cannot get to it, cannot mm-hmm. find it.
No.
Because it's a beauty that has no form.
Mm-hmm. But even this question comes and goes.
Mm. Which question?
Who am I?
Yes. You know why it comes and goes? It comes when it's needed and necessary, and it goes mm-hmm. when it's not needed and not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
For a while it becomes a bit like the bodyguard of the beingness.
Mm-hmm.
It comes when somehow, sometimes we are speaking and we say, yes, I went to Brixton and I did this and I spoke to someone mm-hmm. and it's fine. And there's a moment when you say I, and I would say, hi is what you're speaking. Who are you
mm-hmm.
in this moment? Because the I becomes a bit smelly. It mm. becomes like a person, like this, mm-hmm. me or something.
Yeah.
And then the question may be presented, no? But who are you appearing as?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what uniform is your I wearing now when you speak like this?
Mm.
And we can begin to explore together. When someone is really open and suited to this question, it is something beautiful. It's very beautiful. Not the question, the falling away of the question and the questioner.
Mm. Mm. Okay, Muji. I thank you very much.
I am very happy. Oh, yes. I am very, very happy.
Me also.
I am very happy.